speaking, Warden Will.
This is Kina.
I don't know why I keep insisting on the warden thing. It's just fun to say.
I gave up on the corrections officer thing a long time ago.
I know you did.
Episode one.
Episode two, you were still a corrections officer because we were talking about how you were tossing people's rooms for contraband.
Oh, yeah.
So after that, you just gave up on the whole thing.
Yeah, I just gave up. There's no saving some people.
We'll see. We'll see. If I ever get comments about the episodes so that we can get feedback.
Aww.
Yeah, I don't get any feedback. Tracy's been talking a little bit. She commented on the video on Podomatic. Mm-hmm. And she said, great, great podcast.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not really getting any feedback from anybody else. I don't know if anybody else is even listening. I know we had like 9 downloads so far on our last episode, which I just posted the other day. And so I know people are listening, and it's great. It just I'd like a little more feedback so that we can improve.
Oh, okay.
It comes with the territory.
Fair
you want to know what you're doing right, what you're doing wrong.
True.
And we'd like this to grow and become more. And you know, it'd be great to get some more feedback from people so that we know if we're going the right direction.
Okay, I feel you.
Can you hear my chair?
Yeah, a little bit, yeah.
Okay, I'll have to keep from moving.
Okay, so what are we talking about today?
Today, we are talking about costuming and my phone ringing in the background. That is fantastic. I wonder who that is. It's probably my brother. So, we're going to keep this kind of free-flowing because I think that's more fun. So, we're going to be talking about costuming versus cosplay. We're going to be talking about costume contest. And we're going to be talking about different aspects, social aspects of costuming.
Mm-hmm.
As far as, you know, race, is that important? Are you the race of the character you're portraying?
Yeah.
And well, you know, there's been some issues with Hollywood and stuff changing the race and gender of certain characters. And there are people in the cosplay community that kind of take umbrage with the same thing. We want to just have a discussion about that sort of thing along with, you know, our different views on costuming because it's something we both really enjoy and we feel passionately about and we have a lot of fun with. And we want to share that passion and joy with everyone else. And that's why we're talking about it today. Yeah, let's start with costume contests and how we feel about different aspects of costume contests. In a lot of what most people know of with costume contests outside of the convention community comes from the show Heroes of Cosplay.
Mm-hmm.
And was that really a good representation of cosplay as a community, cosplayers as a community? I really don't believe it was, personally. And there were a lot of aspects of the show and not only aspects with that show, as far as costume contest goes, but this pervasive idea that because you made your costume, it's superior to the costume somebody spent time and money to purchase.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I understand the difference between a costume you built by hand and the one you go down to Spirit and buy. I understand the merit between the two. I'm not talking about a costume that you buy at Spirit. I'm talking about like my Vader that took me a couple $1,000s and about 2 years to put together. I don't have any talent in building props and stuff. I'm delving into that aspect, but I'm finding it very difficult, even in the beginning, to try to demonstrate any kind of skill or aptitude. So what about you?
Well, you have more skill than you think because you're really good at making props.
I'm good at stuff that's symmetrical in nature.
Well,
good at straight lines and symmetry.
If you haven't really tried to make a Darth Vader and make a fiberglass helmet, then you don't know if you're good at it.
That's true, and that's why I'm trying. I'm delving into it with the foam. I've got she was lovely to provide me for my birthday the tools that I need and some EVA foam to start building my own costumes, my own cosplay stuff. So I'm trying to develop techniques that I've been watching a lot of people on YouTube and through other mediums to learn how to manipulate the foam and how to create armor and costume pieces from it.
There are a lot of people who are good at crafting, they're good at sewing, they're good at prop making, sculpting, whatever the case may be, and they're able to, you know, put together a great costume utilizing many different talents. And yeah. I think that, yeah, they should get more points and more credit because of that when they're being judged in a costume contest.
Okay, but I kind of see it as, you know, kind of saying that just because this particular pop artist didn't write their music, didn't play their own guitar, or didn't write the lyrics, that invalidates them as an artist.
No, but I didn't say that, you know, it invalidates the other person. I just said the person who put together, made it themselves, they just get a little bit more credit. But if someone else...
Well, I can understand a little bit more credit. I can understand a little extra points. Mm-hmm. But I'm not talking about extra points. I'm talking about the fact that a costume contest, it's often two different costume contests.
Yeah.
You're both in the same line, but you're judged under different criteria, and there are different prizes. And the top prizes are not available to the people who come wearing a costume they didn't make. The top prizes are only available to those who made their costume. You have the costume contest. I don't know exactly what it's called when you make your own costume, but if you don't, it's called exhibition. You're basically, it's like an exhibition fight is not a real fight. If two fighters are in an exhibition fight and the champion loses the exhibition fight, there's no loss. That was just an exhibition. You know, they don't lose their championship. So it basically, exhibition means it don't count. I could have won. I would have got myself a little trophy. But I didn't have any shot at the guitar or the big money
but
prize.
But it's probably like that at, like, the really big conventions.
That was at Spooky.
Oh, okay.
You know, and that's why I'm not, like, crazy upset because, you know, the costumes that did win, you know, John and all them, they're really great guys, and they worked hard as hell on those costumes, and they look phenomenal. I'm not saying I stood a chance to win in my Jason Voorhees. Jason's pretty much a dime a dozen. He's like Darth Vader at a sci-fi convention. He's not going to get any love.
From what I've seen, for the most part, at Spooky, the people who have won those costume contests, I always feel like they deserve to win. You know, there have been some exceptions, not to take away from anyone's win, but there was the one contest where, I mean, I love them. I'm a big fan of Monster High, so, and that was a huge group, and I really enjoyed all seeing them all up there on stage, and I think they look great.
Yeah.
But I, just my opinion, I don't think that they deserved first place when you see the other people that they were going against.
For instance, Rev as Hellboy.
And he did make that all himself. The mask, the
sculpted
the
mask
everything.
With clay, using a live cast of himself, and then he sculpted it to look like Ron Perlman in the makeup. Cast it in silicone; it looked phenomenal. It moved very well for somebody who'd never made a silicone mask before. The silicone moved well on the face, and that. You know, for people who don't understand anything about silicone masks, unlike latex masks, a silicone mask form fits to your face. When you open your mouth, the mouth opens. When you raise your eyebrows, the eyebrows of the mask raise. Depending on the quality of the mask, you get more movement. Like companies like CFX and stuff, they make a mask. When you put it on, you can't tell that they're wearing a mask. You know, if it's one of the life masks that they make, there are people have robbed banks, young men have robbed banks wearing old men masks, and the police run around looking for an old man until one of the guys from CFX called the police when he saw the news broadcast and told them, hey, that's one of our masks.
Hey, that snitch.
Yeah. That bastard. But
nah, I don't blame him.
No, I don't think that it should be a separate costume contest. Especially at a smaller convention, where you might have only like 10 people in the crowd that really made their costume.
Yeah.
So you narrow down 100 to 10, you know, and you kind of say, well, these 10 are the only ones that matter,
mm-hmm.
or however many that you deemed worthy because they made their own costume.
I don't have a problem with it being separate, as long as everybody has a chance at the big prize.
Comparable.
So you know how they have categories, like a lot of conventions will have a category. They have like the look-alike, they'll have the kids, they'll have animals, you know, costumes are people portraying animals anyway. And if
furries.
You don't feed the furries. Anyway, and you have people who made their own costume. If that is a category, then I don't have a problem with it. But then all those categories, they are eligible for the top prize.
Yeah.
That's how
I would agree with that. And I think there should be a prize, like a maker's prize. Somebody who worked very hard.
I do not think everyone should get a trophy.
No. There's no participation.
Well, what do you think about, but what if they're little kids?
Well, no, little kids.
Like maybe like a little gift bag with candy and treats and stuff. And I don't have a problem with that.
I think if you have a big enough show up mm-hmm. of kids, like some of these costume contests have, you know, dozens and dozens of mm-hmm. kids show up and they're just walking in this long line.
Yeah.
And they're not differentiating between the young adult
mm-hmm.
and the 4-year-old in a cute costume. And I think that they should separate those two categories. And I think there should be a good prize for the young adult.
Mm-hmm.
Like, for instance, you and Gunner. Won the best lookalike.
Mm-hmm.
But if he'd have been by himself, he'd have probably been relegated to the children's category within the costume contest. Even though he was playing Carl from The Walking Dead.
Coral.
You were playing Michonne. Coral, get in the house, Coral. But, you know, he'd have been relegated down to the, maybe, you know, I think he's 13.
I think he was 13 at that time. Yeah.
So he might have been relegated down to the children's section of that costume contest. And he would have got a prize, mm-hmm. but it would have been the same prize as the 3-year-old walking across the stage.
Well, no, I'm just saying that they should have.
I think we should have like a young adult category
separate
of the costume.
Separate from the really little kids.
Separate from the really little kids. And every little kid gets a little bag of candy or something, you know, especially since this is typically associated with Halloween with mm-hmm. costuming and stuff. A little bag of candy for all little kids. But actually have a contest and real prizes for the young adults, you know, in the costume contest. And, you know, treat them just like you do the adults and have a little prize for, the, you know, something they can take home like a trophy and, mm-hmm. and a prize, you know, whether it be money or something else for them. And I think that would be a cool thing for some of these conventions to start doing is to have a young adult contest.
But what do you
contest.
Think are appropriate prizes?
I think appropriate prizes could very well be like you guys got a plaque and a couple $100, right?
We got, I think it was $100.
$100.
So it was 50 each.
Yeah.
Show me the money. That's what I think is
and
the
you gave him the
prize.
Plaque.
Yeah, I gave him the plaque because he's young and I think that
And
he
he's the one that got you on stage to begin with.
He is the one that got me on stage.
If it hadn't been for him,
stage.
You wouldn't have never got on stage.
And he looks just, in his costume, I felt like he looked just like Carl. Like,
Carl.
He got a lot of attention. Yeah, so I think he deserved
dang
it.
Carl. it's true. He did look very good in his costume. You look great in your costume as well. And you guys got best look alike. And you got
it
a little,
fun.
It came with a plaque, you know, a little trophy type thing. I think it was Lexan, right? It was like
I
a Lexan.
I don't remember. But it was cool. It was real
Spooky
cool.
Empires, Ultimate Horror Weekend, mm-hmm. Best Lookalike. And that was really cool. That was a really cool thing. He's sitting on his shelf now and he each got $50 from it. I think that's a valid prize. I really do think that's a valid prize for, you know,
a category win.
And I think that would be an appropriate prize for like a young adult's mm-hmm. costume contest. A plaque with first place, $100, second place, $75, third place, $50. Call it a day on that, mm-hmm. you know. And I think that would incentivize younger people, the young adults,
mm-hmm.
you know, maybe ages 10 to 15.
Yeah.
You know, to get into costuming and get in and work on costumes and stuff and have a good time with mom and dad's help, especially with sharp objects, to get in there and build a costume and take it out to a convention so they could win a costume contest. And, you know, more importantly, go to the convention wearing your costume. It almost, my other beef with Heroes of Cosplay as a show is it really kind of, in a lot of ways, it kind of treated the convention as the time between the arrival of the protagonists in the story and the costume contest. There really wasn't any coverage of the convention itself, not a whole lot showing any part of the convention other than the costume contest. And it really became like these groups were professional costumers, professional designers, and they were in like this league of costume designers going around like a professional sports team to different cities just to win costume contests. And I thought that kind of took away from what how I feel about costuming and cosplay.
Well, imagine the people who were there in the costume contest. I wonder how some of them felt.
Yeah, to have these people show up and they're essentially professional prop designers. You know, Yaya Han and all this. You know, she participated in a couple. Mainly she did judging and hosting, but...
And because I bet it took away from their experience, because with filming, there are probably cuts and retakes and, okay, we need to get them in a shot. Can you guys move back?
I think it was Wizard World where, telephone again. But I think it was Wizard World where they actually came out with an article talking about that very problem with the costume contest and how the costume contest, instead of taking like a couple hours, took most of a day. And most people, they were there for five, six, 7 hours,
well,
I think.
Well, that could be, because there was one episode where there was this one group that was really rude to them. I think they were the group in the, what was it? Was it Doctor Who?
Yes. I think it was a Doctor Who group.
Yeah,
yes.
And they were really rude to the contestants, you know, the stars of the show. And it could be, and I don't know, but it could be that was the reason why they were rude. You know, they're there trying to, you know, enjoy the contest with their friends and have that experience. And here they are, you know, totally ruining it, taken away from that.
Now, we did meet the guy from the...
And he was really nice.
Super nice guy. And I'm not talking trash about...
So when we say they, we're not talking about the people on the show.
No.
We're just talking about the way that the way the show is produced and the nature of the
probably
show.
Probably the way it was edited. They probably recorded a lot of them walking around the convention.
Because, hey,
I
bet if someone offered you right now, you want to be on, you know, season 2, season 3, whatever. All right,
I would agree to it.
Yeah, you know you would agree with it.
I did. I can't lie. I would be a barefaced liar if I said no. Mm-hmm.
But I think, like, for a top prize for costume contest, I like something like VIP tickets to the next show, hotel, like if it was Dragon Con, like hotel, main host hotel reservations for the next year.
That would be awesome. If nothing else, even if they didn't pay for the actual hotel, but guaranteed you a spot, a reservation at the hotel, that would be a great prize in and of itself. They didn't have to pay for the hotel. You know, they just say, hey, if you win this costume contest, you're guaranteed a room in the Hyatt next year. I think everybody would be putting together costumes. Mm-hmm. Every single person that attends Dragon Con would be putting together costumes to go to the costume contest. With the trouble you have with even getting a room at Dragon Con, that alone I think would be a great prize and a great incentive to get people out there putting together costumes. Yeah, you know, who cares about the $1,000 prize? You're making it easier for me to get a room next year? Hell yeah. But other than that, I really enjoyed the show. And like we said, we met the gentleman who is in most of the, even the beginning of the series. He was the token dude for most of it until I think they got to season two or the end of season one.
Yeah, and then they start to feature him a little bit more. And he has some cool costumes. I think that show kind of depicted, and I don't think they were trying to, but it kind of depicted the way costuming and the way people react to costuming at conventions. Because guys, and this is just what I see, and again, it's just my opinion, guys can have this really cool costume, and they'll get like a few pictures and a few nods and like, oh, that's cool, I like that. But a cute girl will get all of the attention, even if her costume is just mediocre at best.
It's an unfortunate truth, and it, you know, it just goes to sex sells. People, men and women, respond to a particularly attractive woman in cosplay a lot differently than they do guys. I don't know if that's a problem, but it is.
I don't think it's a problem, to be honest with you, unless it's in a costume contest and this girl, a cute girl, is winning because she's attractive and or she has a nice figure or she's pretty, over someone who has a really well done, you know, costume. So that's when I think it's a problem. But if you know,
yeah, I did run into that with the costume contest at Fatality Fest, with a young woman wearing the Vampirella costume winning the costume contest, and then one of the guys at the costume contest, he wasn't really happy about the overall winner. It was a very tiny costume contest. Don't get me wrong. This was I think three guys and a girl at the costume contest. This sounds like a really messed up video. Three guys and a girl. Sorry.
Moving right along.
You noticed that she started laughing before I acknowledged.
You don't know what I was laughing about.
Oh, you know damn well what you were laughing about.
Whatever.
Anyway, yeah, well, the Vampirella, she won the costume contest. And a lot of people that were there, including, I think, the host, I'm putting the host in quotation marks because, again, it was a costume contest where we all stood against a wall and we were judged all at the same time. It was me, another Jason Voorhees, Vampirella, and another kid in a costume down at the end. I don't remember what his costume was. Sorry if you were there and it was your costume. But Vampirella won. And there was no surprise to anybody there that she won. She was a attractive young woman wearing a Vampirella costume, which, if you've ever seen Vampirella, is not much of a costume to be wearing. It's essentially a red bathing suit. And, you know, one of the people involved in the costume contest was not happy with it. He held the best Jason costume contest because he felt that me and that guy had more invested in the costumes, and he thought it would be more fair to go ahead and have that, and I won the best Jason. But
sorry, I voted for Vampirella.
I know you did, brat. Anyway,
I mean, you've seen, and it's just one Jason, you've seen them all, and there was two Jasons up there. I mean, well, so like she was creative.
It's like the one year Spooky, where the Dark Angels, the Fallen Angels, won the costume contest.
Hey, I liked them.
They were great, but were they costume contest champion type costumes?
Yeah.
It was a guy with angel wings, black angel wings. She had black angel wings,
they
and
made
she was on a leash.
Angel wings. Their body paint was done very well, and they got into character on stage.
Okay. I unfortunately didn't see the costume contest
that
year.
I'm not saying that they necessarily should have won.
Now, in my defense, people are going to listen to this and say, well, he didn't even go to the I was in the costume contest. I was one of the contestants. I was in my Darth Vader costume. I didn't place. I didn't even come close. I think actually, no, I came into the top 10. They called me back up on stage. So I can't lie, I was in the top 10, but I didn't place in any of the top three, and I really didn't see any of the other contestants all that well because I had a Darth Vader helmet on.
Okay.
So for me to judge whether or not the costume con there, but from what I was told by other people that they didn't feel that that particular costume was more was any more than sex sells.
Oh, okay.
So
well,
I'm gonna leave it at that.
Yeah, I did have a different opinion than most people.
Okay.
But I'm not saying that they should have won because I can't remember that year and who else was a contestant. But I think there probably were better costumes that maybe someone else should have won, but they could have been like top three.
Yeah. And it was a fun costume contest. That was the last show Bill was
do
there.
Do you think just because a costume is skimpy that it's necessarily just,
no,
just sex?
No.
Because I just didn't get that vibe from them. I kind of felt like I knew what they were going for, and it worked for me. But I didn't I didn't see it as just, you know, oh, sex.
I felt it kind of tied to your earlier statements about the guy cosplay versus the girl cosplay.
Okay.
Because, you know, girls in the tight, skimpy costumes do get a lot more attention.
Yeah, they do.
Even more attention than the guys walking around in power armor suits from Fallout or just about any other guy costumes out there. Unless the costume is iconic, guy's not going to get as much attention as the girls in their Princess Leia costume, their Slave Leia costume.
And I do think that sucks for the guys that put it off.
I'm not devaluing that costume.
And even just girls, we keep saying guys, because there are a lot of girls that walk around and they have on, like, Mandalorian costumes. They have on the armor and different things also. So, you know, just the people who put a lot of work into their costumes as far as fabricating and going for a different look other than just being sexy. I guess I do feel it sucks for them because, you know, they're not getting that much attention.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're doing it just for the attention, then it
we
might
all
not
are
be
just a little bit.
Yeah, but I didn't say if you're doing it only for attention.
Oh, yeah.
I just said if you're doing it just for the attention, then it might not be the thing for you because you can put a lot of work into a costume and you never know what's going to be a hit. You know, you never know how other people are gonna take it, or if they're even gonna know what the costume is.
Well, look at we can go with a prime example here. Your Michonne, was a huge hit at Tampa Bay Comic Con. People loved it. People were taking pictures of you left and right, posing with you. You were having a great time. Whereas Walker Stalker. You were all but ignored.
Well, it's because
this
like
is at a Walking Dead convention.
Walker Stalker, it's like, oh, there's another Michonne. Like, it's like, oh, old news by then. And then you got to look at what year we went.
It was the first year of Walker Stalker.
It was the first year of Walker Stalker, but that particular Michonne costume that I was doing had been out for a while. So all year, a couple of years, people have seen that same.
All right, I'll give you that. I'll give you that.
Yeah.
But the Tampa Bay Comic Con was the same year when
that
we did the Walker Stalker.
Yeah,
so
you're right. That's true. It was just
a different setting, different. I guess a different demographic showed up to each of the conventions, and it was. I just thought it was strange that at a straight up Comic Con in Tampa, you got a lot of attention, but at a Walking Dead convention, a convention dedicated almost solely to Walking Dead.
Yeah.
All
and
but ignored.
I did my first costume contest there at Walker Stalker.
You did a costume contest at Walker Stalker?
Yeah, at the party that they had, like the zombie
party
thing.
Oh, that's
and
right.
I was not going to do it, but everybody was like, you need to do it, you need to do it. People pretty much pushed me on
stage. Yeah.
And I really didn't want to do it. And I get up there and then I'm like, wow, nobody's like, you know, they did that whole Kiki Shepherd Apollo putting the hand above
the
people.
Head, yeah,
so,
yeah, yeah.
And I barely got any screams. I'm like, wow, all these people told me to get up here on stage and do this costume contest, and I don't hear a peep out of them. But it was fun. It was fun. So maybe if you costume, it probably would be good to do a costume contest at least once And maybe if you're not really into that, do it at a small convention just to say you've done it once.
Yeah, it's not a bad experience. Although,
yeah, I had a good
time. Make sure that your costume, you can hold up in your costume long enough for the costume contest. The last costume contest I participated in was at Spooky Empire's Mayhem Festival. I think it was not last year, but the year before. So it'd make it 2014. I almost died.
You're so dramatic. I'm not
joking.
You're such a drama queen.
I felt like I was about
drama
to die.
King.
By the time, they told me, put on your costume. You guys are starting up. An hour and a half later, I'm walking across stage. And I had been in a silicone mask and all this latex prosthetics and stuff. You know, a good chunk of my body is covered in latex prosthetics, not like paint on latex, but these latex gloves and chest and back pieces and then the silicone mask. Oh, I thought I was going to pass out. Maybe not die, but I was going to pass out. By the time I got outside of the building, got outside of the auditorium, I didn't care if they called me back for first prize. I wasn't going back up on that stage in costume. I took it off. I was done. I was done for the rest of the day at that point. So just make sure that you can be comfortable in your costume to get up on stage and do what you got to do and wait. And maybe wait to put your mask on to the last minute. Unfortunately, the way my Jason's set up, I don't have that luxury. It takes a lot for me to put on the mask because of the gloves. Or the gloves because of the mask. It's just really difficult to get in and out of. To get into it, I can get out of it really fast. It's a whole lot easier to get out of it. But I think we've kicked this dead horse enough with the costume contest. Now I want to talk about different aspects of cosplay in general. And I want to talk about costuming versus cosplay. For me, costuming is somebody's wearing a neat outfit. Cosplaying is that same person pretending to be the character.
So they're like embodying the character, like really getting into it, owning it.
Taking on the mannerisms.
It. Yeah, becoming the character.
And I really enjoy doing that. It's very, for some characters, it can be very taxing. For other characters, it's stupidly easy. Like Punisher, for me, is stupidly easy because I naturally had the military bearing because I was in the military for 9 years. So standing there with, an AR-15, M4, with a grenade launcher, full body armor, and tactical gear, just natural for me. I did that in the Army for 9 years. So that's easy.
So you basically see yourself as a cosplayer?
I basically see myself as a cosplayer.
Okay.
When I'm in my Jason costume, I don't talk. I rarely will ever say a word in my Jason costume. I don't do anything, really. I go up and I try to kill people. I'm Jason at that point. In my Darth Vader costume, I walk around acting like I own everybody. Mm-hmm. Everybody's my property, and I'm angry about
it. Your property, fool.
I'm
messing with you.
Yeah, I know you.
You're so serious.
Punk.
I don't cosplay. I costume. I like to wear the cool outfits. And
I'm not saying there's anything wrong.
Cool outfits to me, because they're probably not cool to anybody else. But yeah, I can't get into character and all of that good stuff.
I differentiate between costume and cosplay, and I'm not going to say that one's better than the other. Just I have a lot more fun when I'm in a costume where the character, I get to play out the character and take on different aspects and role play that character to other people.
I agree with that. I think to me, that's the difference between cosplay and costuming for me also. But I'm not any good at cosplaying. So I always say that I'm costuming. But I always wonder, I'm pretty sure other people have different meanings for cosplay and costume.
Yeah, and again,
they probably mean the same thing to them, and it just means for them just putting on a costume and having fun.
For some reasons, the word, for some people, the word doesn't, the two words don't have different meanings.
Right.
But for me, it's not like I went to Webster's Dictionary and looked up cosplay.
Created my own Webster's
or Urban Dictionary. Dictionary or Urban well, Dictionary would be more accurate because I doubt you're going to find the word cosplay in Webster's Dictionary.
I create a convention dictionary, and that's what it's
convention dictionary.
Conventionary.
Yeah. It's a convention dictionary.
Fat cosplay in there, costume, conplay. Yeah, it's got all that in there.
Yeah. It's just basically
coming to
any
a
word.
Convention near you, I'm selling my conventionary, you know. So you can get up on the correct correct terminology. I gotta learn how to say it first.
I recommend to anyone to give cosplay a chance.
I'm just kidding.
If you got a character that you really enjoy, and you know, we saw a great example of cosplay at Miami SuperCon with
the
guy, yeah, dressed as the Grinch or girl. You can't tell, but they were having a blast, and they were awesome to interact with because they were playing the character. They were cosplaying it up, in my opinion. You know.
Yeah.
And it was a lot different than you would have interacted with somebody who was just standing there talking to you wearing the costume.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it really adds a whole new level to that experience of interacting with that person in their costume.
Yeah, it does.
Now, it doesn't mean you have to. I mean, there is some you can't cosplay.
Mm-hmm. Like what? What do you mean?
You know, you would ask the question. Let's say.
Well, you put it out there. If you didn't have an example, then you should have said it.
I don't know. I guess there isn't. Because the first thing that popped into my head was the toy soldiers. But I guess if you're standing there complete stock still, mm-hmm. as a toy soldier, you know, the green soldiers.
I know. I know.
I guess that's cosplaying that character, you know, just standing there. So, yeah.
Sorry, didn't mean to throw you off.
Yeah, I just kind of, I lost my rhythm. Yeah. Let's talk about some other things with costuming and cosplay. Let's talk about body issues, body image, and gender. Is some limitation on cosplay? Is it a limitation?
No.
Should you feel like, you know, if the character, like Wolverine, is a guy, he's a short guy, muscular, that is a short, skinny woman, you can't cosplay that character?
You can cosplay whatever you want. I don't think you personally should have any limitations. If you want to do it and you're comfortable doing it, then just do it. You can only control what you want to do and what you actually do. You can't control how other people respond to it. So I think that when you do a character where it's a different gender or it's a different race or it's a different size, do whatever the heck you want. But you can't then dictate how other people respond to it, because you don't have control over other people, and there are a lot of ignorant people out there. So,
yeah, you see a lot of different body types and a lot of different things going on, especially at big conventions, Dragon Con, mm-hmm. for instance. Some of the costumes, you're like, I don't know if I'd have gone that way. You know, with some of the body issue stuff. But that's not on the person wearing the costume. That's mm-hmm. on the observer.
Right.
You know, just because you don't want to see the 300-pound Wonder Woman doesn't mean she doesn't have the right to play that character and enjoy herself. And that's how I feel about that.
Mm-hmm. And by you don't want to, you're talking about
I'm talking about your feeling.
There are a group of people yes. out there who, because you will read the comments, we'll read the comments on like Facebook and different places, and they're like, oh, I didn't need to see that, or that's just wrong. Well, you know what? That's your opinion. You have a right to your opinion, but, you know, that
have the right to disagree with your opinion.
Right.
You know,
and that person can wear whatever they want to wear. To me, I like going to conventions and seeing little kids. And so next, if you're saying, oh, well, that's not how Wonder Woman looks. She's thin. You know, why is that?
She's a fictional character. She doesn't look like anything.
You know, so next you're going to tell the little kid, well, you shouldn't be wearing that because you're a little kid. And yeah. Well, if it's appropriate for, I think, a little kid, if it's not like all skimpy, but anyway, you know what I mean.
I know what you meant.
Me, I don't have a problem. I've never gone to a convention and looked at someone in their costume and ever thought, you know, oh, I don't like that. They shouldn't be doing. Actually, I'm lying. What do you call it? Pedo bear?
Pedo bear, yeah.
And I saw that, and it was right after.
This is not a body issue thing.
It's
this
not
is
a body issue.
This is an inappropriate costume.
It is an inappropriate costume in my mind, because there are a lot of people who liked it and appreciated it and was taking pictures of it. But I made that comment just now that I've never gone to a con and saw a costume that I was like, no, they shouldn't be doing that. And then that popped into my head because I was like, yes, actually, I did. But that was the only time, because I felt it was inappropriate.
I'm going to defend Pedo Bear in this instance.
Do it, because I always want to hear the other side, because like I said, there was a lot of people appreciated it.
I kind of want to defend him in this instance.
Go ahead.
And my defense for this particular costume was the context.
Mm-hmm.
Pedo Bear showing up to Dragon Con, appropriate. Pedo Bear showing up to a daycare, inappropriate.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was just the context. He showed up to an adult convention.
Yes.
Where adults were wearing
not just adults, because this was the daytime that I saw him.
Well, yes, but you have to understand the context of the character to understand that the character's inappropriate.
Right.
So it's not like a little kid looking at the character is gonna realize that it's an inappropriate costume. Mom and dad are gonna realize that it's an inappropriate costume.
I just, there's certain things that are like for me that I like just don't joke about, and that's
I have to admit, I always joked that I wanted to go to a anime convention. Oh, I can't get words out today. An anime convention is a tentacle rape monster.
Yeah, you're always in the tentacle rape monster and gel bait a con, stuff like that.
Yeah. But I also realize how inappropriate the costume would be.
Yeah.
And I've never taken any steps aside from laughing about it to actually do the costume.
I'm glad that you haven't.
No. It's not my style.
I'm sure somebody will. But
I'm sure somebody has.
But this is the thing. It just goes back to, you can't control what someone observing your costume, how they're going to feel about it.
Exactly.
So I looked at it. I didn't appreciate it. So you know what I did? Put my camera down. I'm not taking a picture of that. And I kept it moving. I didn't go up to the person and say, your costume's inappropriate.
Sure.
You need to go home. That's not right. You know what I mean?
Well, we're talking about inappropriate
costumes.
I kept my
opinion to myself.
Talking about inappropriate
costumes.
Oh,
except for now I'm sharing it. But anyway, go on. Go ahead.
Ebola. When we brought out the Ebola virus last year.
Yeah, y'all bastards is wrong for that. I'm calling you all out right now. You, Jason, Mandrake. I'm leaving Melanie alone because that's my girl. She could do whatever
Melanie.
She want to do. No, I just said I'm leaving her alone. But anyway, yeah.
No, but people, there were some people who thought it was funny.
Yeah, they were like,
but
too
most,
soon. They were like, that's
oh, most
up.
People were pissed.
Yeah, they were.
Most people did not enjoy that.
Too
soon, or that's not funny, you know, stuff like that.
And I
like,
bet y'all like that even more.
It's freaking funny.
Y'all like the negative reaction even more, didn't you?
Yeah, we did. Because that made it kind of fun, because, you know, you're going to get all butthurt about us bringing a giant, basically, pool noodle made into what the Ebola virus looked like magnified in a electron telescope.
At least they
microscope,
got it.
Electron microscope. That's because we had the name tag Ebola on it. I think most people didn't even know what the hell it was until we got close enough for them to read the name tag. But there was a lot of butthurt about it while we were there. And people didn't think it was funny. And we thought it was funny because, you know, the CDC went to the trouble of bringing Ebola to Atlanta. We figured Ebola deserved a timeout, a time to go out on the town and show them Dragon Con, because, you know, he's already in Atlanta. Why not bring him to Dragon Con? And that was our whole mindset for the whole thing. It was just tongue in cheek, mm-hmm. and some people really didn't appreciate it. And if you didn't appreciate it, so what? We don't care. Really. The truth is, we couldn't care less if you were offended by it.
Okay.
That your offense is not somebody else's problem. It's your own problem. Just like being racially insensitive or homophobic is not the black person's fault or the gay person's fault. It is your own fault. You have to own your own feelings. That goes all ways. That goes whether you're offended by something or you're offensive to someone. Now, there are times where you're offended by something and you are justified in reacting to that offense. But if it's just purely something that offends you because
you're
of some
a,
sort
at
of
a convention
strange
that you're
yeah,
you're
I'm talking about
justified
like
justified in reacting
pedophile,
to it?
Ped bear.
Yeah, but I didn't react
no,
to it.
No. I'm talking about people if they reacted to it as if they were offended by it or are Ebola virus. Mm-hmm. We're talking about that level of offense. We're talking about on the surface.
So you felt like those
offense.
People that were offended by the Ebola thing and that they were justified in
no,
making
they weren't,
a comment to you guys about it?
Whether they were justified or not, we didn't care because we didn't feel they were justified in it.
Okay.
And it was a on the surface offense. It wasn't something that somebody could be deeply offended by. It was a tongue-in-cheek joke that had no harm to anybody else and was completely harmless. It wasn't like we were going around, you know, with an inappropriate effigy or something of a person and you know, depicting an actual person. We were walking around with a pool noodle decorated mm-hmm. to look like the Ebola virus.
Yeah.
Some people get offended by it. So what?
Yeah, with a pedo bear thing, I didn't appreciate it. It was
we got way off topic
was,
on this, didn't
on
we?
It was on the surface, you know, so, but even if it was deeper, I don't think I would, approach a person because I'm sitting there thinking, if you're so ignorant, like, say if someone's in costume, but they're doing, they're going back in the day, and they're doing, a blackface costume, I would really be offended by that. But and I'm talking about real blackface,
I understand what you're talking about.
Tar black makeup and then the pink lips, you know, making a mockery of what you know a
black
someone
person.
Assume a black person looks like or what have you. And I would be really offended by that. I would be like, oh, that's messed up, and I would just walk. I wouldn't want to be around that person, so I would just leave and walk away. But I don't know if I would approach them. I mean, I've never had it happen to me, so you never know how you would react until you're
exactly.
in the moment. But I feel like when people do ignorant stuff like that, and they're so out of touch that me saying something to them, how do I know how they're going to respond back? And my comment can snowball and just escalate into something even worse. So I don't even know if I would say something.
Yeah, there's times to react and there's times to just laugh about it.
I will not laugh about it.
No, I'm not talking about blackface. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about general stuff that offends us.
Mm-hmm.
We have to take it with a grain of salt sometimes. And the problem is we live kind of in a world where people feel like they have the right to not be offended. But there are certain times where your offense is justified and you should speak up. For instance, at Dragon Con, I think it's 20. What was our first year? Our first year at Dragon
2010?
Con was 2011, wasn't it? 2010? 2010?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because the 2011 Girls of the Con calendar was the first, mm-hmm. and that was the
2010.
Year. So 2011 Dragon Con, I was out at the smoking area at the Marriott. A group of goth kids comes walking out. Goth, young, for me, they're really young, you know, 20s. Early mid-20s. I kind of felt older. They walked out, and there were a couple guys there in their jerseys, their sport jerseys, and you could tell that they were there for the football game. And they made a very inappropriate comment about the guy following these goth girls, and they made a homophobic comment, and we all turned on them. And we're like, what the did you just say? And they realized real quick that we may not all look alike, but we're all together, and mm-hmm. we're all, you know, those guys are just as much part of our community. The goth people were just as much part of our community as the guy wearing a stormtrooper costume or any other costume. And those guys had been standing there talking trash about costuming and these nerds and everything else. That was offensive, but it wasn't until they crossed the line to where our offense became justified into action.
Well, I feel like crossing the line is when they actually singled out someone.
Well, they had singled out like different nerds at that time. But, you know, take it with a grain of salt. No big deal. No harm. No foul.
Mm-hmm.
It's when they crossed the line. But let's get back to costuming because we got about 8 minutes left of this deal. And I want to get back into – and this kind of tied together with the body image thing and everything else and taking offense because I think people take entirely too much stock in source material sometimes.
Yeah.
And they're very protective of race, body type, and all this other stuff.
Gender.
Whether or not a male person or a male can cosplay a female character mm-hmm. or vice versa, a black person cosplaying a white character or vice versa.
Mm-hmm.
Anime. Almost none of your anime cosplayers are actually Asian when you go to these conventions. There are Asian people cosplaying, but you see a lot of white girls and white boys and black and, you know, what have you. It's not important, people. Let it go. Cosplay the characters and stuff that you enjoy.
Conventions that everybody's pretty accepting. And that's why they go there in the first place. I think you see most of, and that's not 100% across the board. No. You always have, because you're dealing with people, so you're always going to have someone who's ignorant and feels the need to try to force their opinion on you. You
or feel better about themselves.
Exactly. But you mostly, for me, I feel like we mostly see the problems when people post their pictures online. And then everybody else, the peanut gallery, have so much to say. And they take it all out of context. And they see someone in a costume. And they don't realize that this person, or maybe they do realize they don't care. This person is just showing their love for the character. And they're offended. Because, oh, they use too much Tanner, and they're like a white person trying to portray themselves
black
as
face.
Black. That's blackface. That is not blackface.
No. Like, prime example was the young woman from, what was the show? When she did the Crazy Eyes. When she cosplayed Crazy Eyes.
Yeah, she did look a hot mess, though.
She looked a hot mess.
She
but
did, because
she
you,
did.
Have blonde you, look hair. You have blonde hair yes. up in twists. You didn't do anything to change the color of your hair. So
well,
why would you do anything to change the color of your skin?
She probably couldn't do anything to change the color
and
of her
she
hair.
She obviously couldn't do anything to change the color of her skin because she did a horrible job.
She did.
That right
was
there
a horrible
was execution.
Job.
If you can't execute it right, just don't do it. And here I'm just saying about just do what you want to do and not even 10 minutes later. If you can't execute it right, don't do it. But whatever, she would have gotten less, you know, she wouldn't have got any heat if she would have just put her hair up in the twist and just went about her business. I mean, her tan job or whatever she used
the
was
awful,
a mess.
The awful spray tan that she was wearing was it was a hot mess.
But I've seen where it has been done really well, and the intent is to show love for the character. Mm-hmm. And I just don't see the problem. That's my personal opinion. And again, I am more than respect people who feel differently, and I've read all the different comments. I understand why. There are people who have given really good arguments as to why, and I read it, and I'm like, you know, that makes sense. I understand that. But at the end of the day, I have my opinion, and it is what it is.
I thought it came from a good place.
Mm-hmm.
Like you said, it was bad execution.
Mm-hmm. I don't think she did anything that was racist. I just think, I just thought it was executed badly.
Yeah. Well, that's all we got for this episode. I really hope you enjoyed it. We enjoyed recording it. I'm going to leave it as it is, other than maybe a little touch up here and there, just to take out some of the ums. Because nobody wants to listen to that. And you just right there. And y'all have a good night and or a good day whenever you're listening to this. And that's it for us. And
yeah, take out all my us. So this has been.
We're signing off from Convicts Convention Podcast.
Once you're in for life.